But I begin today with the question, what leads your life? What leads your life? What leads your life? Where do you take direction from? And for any one of us, that answer can be a combination of a whole lot of things. You know, some people's lives are led by other people's opinions of them. Can you believe that?
It's true.
Other people's opinions. Maybe the to-do list. Whoever gets led by the to-do list. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Maybe just the fear of missing out, where we do things because we don't want to miss out on anything. You know? This is the great era of FOMO. Fear of FOMO. Fear of missing out. This is the era of the 2010s on. The fear of missing out drives so many people. That's why they're on this all day. Oh, what if someone has a cup of coffee and I don't know about it? Goodness. Fear of missing out. There's a special on spring rolls at the local milk bar. Oh, I don't miss it. Fear of missing out drives a lot of people today. It really does. Maybe the pressure of materialism leads us, drives us. That wouldn't be anybody here. But some people in this world are a little bit of materialistic. But what if we were led by the voice of God? What if we were led by the voice of God? Jesus said this. This is some of those red letters in your Bible. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Any sheep of Jesus here today? Goodness me, you're allowed to speak English. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, Jesus knows them, and they follow me. Maybe you're here today and you're just exploring the idea of God and Jesus and the church. You're just looking into it. You're not committed. You're just saying, well, this is maybe interesting. Maybe you're brought along by a friend or whatever, or you saw a sign up, Easter for church, come along. So you've come along. Maybe you're just interested. And maybe the whole idea of hearing from God sounds a little bit unusual. What does John mean by that? Hearing from God. This sounds spooky. But even if it does sound a bit unusual, this whole idea of hearing from God, I wouldn't mind betting that if you are here today or you're watching online, even though you don't know much about Jesus, I bet one of the reasons you're here or you're listening is that you are hoping that there is more to life than touch, taste, feel, see, hear. You're hoping there's more than that. There's got to be more than that. That there's some kind of another element that we can't see with our physical senses. We're hoping that there is a supernatural element that we can connect with. And as Christians, we believe there is, and we believe that supernatural element is who we call God, who we call Jesus, who we call the Holy Spirit. And as you know, we know this connection to be the God of the Bible. And it's not a God we made up, not a God that you or I got together and had a committee and thought up, the God who reveals himself in the Bible. We don't have to think it up. It's all here in the Bible, the direction that we need, the God of the Bible. So I want to reassure you, if you're just searching today, that I'm not going to be talking about some kind of unbalanced, spooky communication from beyond. You know, we all sit there holding hands at a table. We're not talking about that. That's of another kingdom, which we don't deal with. The kingdom of darkness. We're not talking about the kingdom of darkness. We're talking about the kingdom of light. The kingdom of God's own dear Son. So we're talking about. So hearing from God does not involve being mystical or strange. You don't have to be weird to hear from God. You don't need to have to shake. You don't need to lie on the floor. You don't need to go into ecstasy to hear from God. It doesn't have to be mystical and it doesn't have to be strange. Now, does God ever do some strange things? Yeah. Talking donkey? That's pretty strange. But it was once in the Bible, right? It wasn't a pattern for life. I think I want to hear from God. I think I'm going to talk to my horse. Probably not a great idea. Talk to my dog. You know? Where'd the burglar go? Roof, roof. Oh, is he? That's terrible. So we're not talking about strange stuff like talking to your dog or talking to your horse. We're talking about hearing from God in a balanced, biblical way. And I want to give you five filters quickly. I'm not even going to open up any of these in a great way. Five filters, five useful questions to ask to help determine whether what we're hearing is from God or not. The first question is just simply asking God, God, is this prompting truly from you? God, is this prompting truly from you? We're simply asking God, is the voice I'm hearing, is it yours? We ask ourselves, does this word line up with the character and the attributes of God? It's got to line up with his character. God is not going to ask you or give you a word that contradicts what his revealed word says. He's not going to do it. Have Christians done stuff that's not in the revealed? Yes, they have. To their destruction sometimes. Certainly to their pain. God's word to us is going to line up with his word. Which leads to the second one. Is it scriptural? As I said, God is not going to prompt you to do something that contravenes the word of God. And by the way, that key point states the fact that we don't need to hear directly from God for most of our life. God's word has already given us clear direction. You don't need to ask God, should I steal? Should I covet? Should I date another man's wife? You don't need to ask God about that. Should I be generous? Should I be kind? Should I be loving? No, God's already told us what to do about those things. You don't need a word from God about those things. Next question is it wise? Is it wise? God is not going to ask you to do something that isn't at its core wisdom. Wisdom. What's between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit, right? That's knowledge. Wisdom is not putting tomato in a fruit salad. You have knowledge, but you've got to have wisdom to go with your knowledge. And God's going to give you wise stuff to do. Question four, is the whisper in tune with my own character? Before you head into an activity that you believe God is prompting you to pursue, think about whether it meshes with the person that you are. Who am I as a person? Does this fit with me? It's very important. And it's not that God never asks us to do a hard right turn in our life. He does do that. It's just that typically when he does it, he affirms that direct, very hard turn by a number of proofs. And it will still fit with who we are, how he's created us to be. Who believes God has created you as a unique person? Your joy is not like Greg. Greg is not like Nico. Nico is not like Luther. We're all different, unique people. So God, when he has a word for us, he doesn't ask me to do something that would suit Greg. He doesn't ask me to do something that would suit Wendy. He asks you something that fits your character. It still fits in with how we're created to be. The last question is, to ask in determining whether a word is truly from God, what do the people I most trust think about it? Even after a word passes those first four tests, that shouldn't be the end of your consideration. Submit what you believe you've heard to trusted Christians in your life. People who you know, who love you, who you can trust. Do they believe that input was likely from God, or do they have uncertainty about what you feel called to do? And somebody say, oh, John, that's a lack of faith. No, it's not. It's not a lack of faith. There's no lack of faith expressed in examining whether we feel a word is from God for us. Anyone here got perfect hearing from God? Anyone? What? Yeah, exactly, John. What? None of us. None of us hear perfectly. The people in the Bible didn't perfectly hear the word of God. They made some terrible decisions about what they thought they heard. So to test it is not a lack of faith. God has given us both faith and reason. faith and reason. He's given us self-determination and he's given us support of other Christians. Now it's quite a challenge really to prioritise listening for God's direction above all the other goals we've got in life. Because in trying to hear from God, we're very deliberately asking ourselves, what is God saying to me about the job I will do? About my choice of a future partner maybe? The people I should be friends with? Our involvement in our neighbourhood? All kinds of different things. God, we're deliberately asking God, what should I do in these things where I could flip one way or the other? What should I do and seek God's input? Now let me say this, because it's very important that if you do want God's direction in your life, if we're going to hear from God, we have to carve out some space for that to happen. What do I mean by that? Well, God can speak to us in the everyday events of life, just as we're walking along. Of course he can. But for most of us, we need to still ourselves, get quiet, and give God a chance to speak. Ever since I was a child, I wake up ready to go. Josie can testify of this. I cannot lay in bed once I'm awake. Can't do it. My mind reminds me of the stuff that I need to do, I want to do, and I want to get into it. I really am a quintessential morning person. You go to the Macquarie Dictionary, there's morning person, there's my photo. Okay? That's me. I'm not better, I'm just a morning person. I'm lousy at the other end of the day. You don't want to be getting counselling from me at 9 o'clock at night. I'll probably tell you to go and speak to the horse or the dog. You might get more out of them. I'm a morning person. So I have to discipline myself not to get up and start into those tasks. My first stop has to be one with God. It has to be. So I read my Bible, I normally journal, and I always pray before I hit the road with the things I want to accomplish. Every day. Because I know it'll go better with me if I do. And I know if I didn't do that, God would find it a lot harder to get a word into me. Because once the day starts, I'm pretty much tasking on and on and on until it gets to 7 o'clock and then I'm too tired and I want to go to bed. But I've got to carve out that time in the day, and so do you. You may not be a morning person, but you still need to carve out that time. Middle of the day, middle of the morning, whenever it suits you. End of the day, not so great. You're falling asleep the same as I am, no matter what time you choose to go to bed. Another strategy I have is I turn off the radio when I'm driving or doing a task and just allow silence around me. I don't say I always drive without the radio on, but usually I don't have any noise in the car because God can speak to me. In the silence, I can notice things that I don't notice when I'm humming along to the Bee Gees. So I find that's for me. I like that silent space. When I'm doing a task, I don't usually have the radio playing. I did yesterday, the difference. I put on Melbourne's SEN radio station and listened to that while I was doing a task. But normally I have nothing going on around me because I actually have my mind more easily flooded with thoughts that God might want to speak to. So if God still speaks to us, then what do you suppose he speaks to us about? What does God talk to us about? What kind of word does God want to convey to us? And I want to look at three types of words. The first one we're just going to look at today, and the other two I'm going to cover next Sunday. But let's begin by looking at Genesis chapter 6, probably a familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure you've read it at some point. And if you've never read it, even if you've never been to church, you probably know all about it. Reading from verse 13. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy them, both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. The story of Noah. Story of Noah. We all know the story. Early in human history, the world got so wicked, so perverse, that God says, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood, and he saves one family, Noah's family, eight persons out of all of humanity. And in to do that, God says to him, build an ark. It's one of the most dramatic representations of God speaking to a human being and telling him to do something. Let's put the picture. Noah lived in a basically in a desert. He didn't live anywhere near the water, as far as we know. And God said, build a boat. Okay. Oh, well, if it doesn't work out, God, at least I've got a big barn for the animals. It would have seemed ridiculous. We've probably, most of us have seen movies about Noah building the ark, even if it's only that pretty lame modern one. What's that called? The guy with Modern Times, the comedian's building an ark. I don't know what story that was, but anyway. But it says that Noah was a righteous man. He was good and godly, and he cared about walking the earth before God, and so God trusted him with a word. So the first type of word that followers of God may receive is a word towards action. Say with me, a word towards action. That's the first kind of word we're going to talk about, a word towards action. Build an ark, what a word. There's a question that arises from this story for us. Is God calling us to build something today? Is God calling you or I to build something? For Noah, he had to build a physical ark. What might God be wanting us to build? Maybe a relationship. Maybe a career. Maybe a family. Maybe a new mission, ministry experience for us sitting here. Maybe the building is the building of a RLC small group. Maybe that's what God would tell you to build. Maybe God's asking you to save something. Noah was called to save the whole world with his word of action. Maybe God's asking you to save something. Maybe to rescue someone. How can I rescue someone, you say? Maybe a word in season about the gospel to someone who doesn't know it. Or maybe someone who's leading a life that is dangerous to them, damaging to them. Maybe God wants you, as a word of action, for you to go to them and to speak into their situation and bring change. Maybe he's inviting you to operate by faith and faith alone. Maybe for the first time in your life, God's word of action to you is to step out in faith in some area. Now remember, I told you, it's not going to be unwise. It's not going to be out of context with your character and who you are. It's not going to be out of context with God's character. You know, action-orientated words from God don't have to be dramatic. You know what I often say? Is we often miss out on doing what God wants us to do because we count it as too small a thing. We're waiting for the big thing. Oh God, give me something huge to do. Something everyone will see. Oh, did I say that? When God would normally want us to do a whole bunch of little things that matter rather than try and do something big that matters to me. You get it? Understand? I'm not trying to be harsh there. But God often calls you a whole lot of little things that are going to make a difference than something big. You know, I'm not setting my goal on being another Clark Taylor. He's a man of different giftings, it's not my giftings. It'd be wonderful to see the things Clark saw, the healings and the salvation. Wonderful. But I know that's not my calling. I've lived long enough to know that's not my calling. So God, I felt, prompted me to do some little things. The Red Letter Challenge series in our church. Little things. Some little steps. Some little steps like our new stage. Little things. But little things that so many of you said to me matter to you. Listen. So same for you. Don't think that when God speaks it's going to be something that's huge and world-changing and yeah, everyone's going to see it. Maybe something insignificant to everyone else, but important to God, he's calling to you. Does that make sense? God's word might be to pray a prayer. You know, sometimes God just prompts us to pray. That's a word of action. But, oh, really? Is that you telling me, John, that God might prompt me to pray? Yeah. Exactly. Who's ever been prompted to pray and didn't pray? Don't put your hand up. Me. Sometimes God's word of action is pray for that person. And we get distracted and we never do it. Or attend a certain meeting. God says, oh, why don't you go along to that meeting? No. No. Ask a question. Engage in a relationship. Read a book. Read a book. You can be one of Isabel's friends if you read a book. You've got lots of books she's read. But sometimes that's the word. It's not huge. You know, sometimes people's lives have changed because they've done a little thing, like read a book, and their lives have changed. In 1986, Josie and I began pastoring a church in Melbourne. Things went well, and like lots of other churches have done, we bought a factory. Fortunately, it was a nice, clean garment factory. We didn't have to clean it up much. And turned into our meeting place, which it still is today. There it is. That's Liberty Family Church in Hillsville. Lovely little church, about 200-odd people. They're not all odd. They're less odd now that I've gone. But about 200 people. It was a great place to pastor. I loved being there. Very happy to be part of that church. It was a good church. We raised our children to adulthood in that church. So you can imagine what a special place it was for us. 22 years into that season, around 2008, Josie and I felt we heard the voice of God that we'd be moving on. No specific plan. It's a little word. We both had it. We're going to be moving on. What? This is so comfortable. This is so nice. We've known these people since they were young adults. We've married them. We've baptized them. We've baptized the children of the people we baptized. We married kids of people we married. We married right in the early stage and we married their kids. So it meant a lot to us, but we're going to be moving on. We told the elders and we left it at that. 2008. Then at the start of 2011, 3 years later, don't be impatient, we got an invitation completely out of the blue to consider pastoring a church where? In Haiti. I thought they said Tahiti. It's Haiti. And that was a confirmation of the earlier word. Who can see that Haiti was a bit different to Hillsville and Melbourne? And Christian Family Life Center, what it was called, Liberty Family Church. There's Josie playing with balloons. She did more than that. Oh, really, but did more than dancing around with school children. A lovely mixed culture church we're in there, and mission church for about 300. I just used to ride motorbikes around all day, as you can see. It's pretty much all I ever did. But that was great. So we visited Haiti in March to check things out. We returned home and received the affirmation of Christian friends and our mentor. So we took that back to our close friends and said, what do you guys think? Any checks, any red flags? None. So we handed over the church, sold most of our things, and in October 2011, we were living in Port-au-Prince. March, we got the invitation. To October, we were living. See, I'd say time doesn't go as quickly. March now, October. What could be happening in October for you? March, come to Haiti. October, we're living in Haiti. Living there. And it was an amazing experience. So what action might God be asking you to take today? What needs to be started in your life? And even God's word of action is sometimes to stop something. Sometimes the word of action. Because stopping is also an action, right? You know that if you drive a car. Stopping's an action. You put your foot on the brake, right? So, starting or stopping? You know, what prayers need to be prayed? Is God calling you to pray about something? What relationships need to be improved or healed? What action is God calling you to take about that? What books might you need to read to enlarge your understanding? Some of you are going to be doing that. Run, run, run. Run back. Most of you here are going to be reading that book. Red Letter Challenge. You have listened to God. You might think, was that a word from God? I think you asked me, John. No, if you respond, it's a word from God to you, and you're going to read this book, and in some way, great or small, it's going to change your life. I don't know how, but it's going to change your life. In a wonderful way, I'm sure. The truth that arises out of this simple message today is that God has specific things for us to do. Specific tasks to do. Ephesians 2:10 says this. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's very clear there in the scripture. God's got stuff for us to do. How are we going to know all those things? Well, part of it will be because God will send us a few action-orientated words that we respond to, and it's going to make a difference in our life. And even better, it's going to make a difference in other people's lives. And there's no doubt that can be absolutely challenging to follow God's word to action. But don't you think that if we're truly committed to Christ, as I believe we are, that we want to discover and then pursue every one of those good works that God has prepared for us to do? Amen? God's prepared those for us. He invites us to discover what they are and then to do them. Makes sense we want to do that. So as we close, just some summary things to meditate on. Remember these things. God still leads his people by that still small voice. He still does it in 2021. We certainly need to ask those questions to determine, is it from God? Does it fit his character? Does it match up with the Bible? Does it fit who I am as a person? Do we have the support of brothers and sisters in Christ? Remember, a key way God speaks to us is a word of action. Something to do, something to stop doing. And God has good works for us to do and speaks to us to bring those things to pass. What's God's word of action for you today, sitting here? What's God's word of action for you today? Then the bigger question, what will we do with it? What will we do with it? Let's stand together as we close in prayer this morning. Oh, Father God, we thank you for our time here this morning, and we thank you that, Lord, you speak. You speak through your holy word, this precious Bible that's been brought down to us over thousands of years. It's been brought down to us faithfully and truly. And primarily, Lord, you would speak to us through your word. But, Lord, you also speak directly to us in a way that's almost unfathomable because it's supernatural. But you speak into our thinking, you speak into our heart. Sometimes we speak of it as an impression. However it comes, Lord. Lord, that you still speak to us. You are not silent. And I pray, Lord, you'd make every one of us having time carved out to hear your voice. That we would give you space to speak. And then, Lord, we would be quick to listen. And then we will move in accordance with your revealed word for us. Lord, we want to do the good works that you've prepared for us. Lord, make us open to that. Make us hungry for that. And Lord, as we do these things, Lord, may we be blessed but also be a blessing to our circle, wherever we find ourselves. Lord, we praise you and bless you. We give you thanks and glory. Lord, we say that you are great. And Lord, as we go into this week, Lord, we thank you that we do not leave this place where you are and go to a place where you are not, but we go from this place with your presence upon us to another place where your presence remains upon us. We thank you for this truth and reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Please enjoy some fellowship around tea and coffee. Remember, we're no self-service at this time. Please wait for the people to serve you. God bless you.